I'd like to call to order the February 3rd Ways and Means Committee hearing. I'll have Mr. Smith note the roll. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the February 1st minutes. Representative Reinhart moves approval of the February 1st minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of the February 1st amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's adopted. The next item on our agenda is House File 63. Members, there's an A8 amendment being passed out. Representative Garofalo, if you'd like to explain your bill, and if you or Ms. Larson would like to explain the A8 amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, or Madam Chair, I will have Ms. Larson explain the A amendment, just very briefly what this does with the issue of reciprocity under the original language. We're very happy with that. We want to address some of the concerns of the executive branch, as well as the departments and agencies, and what this does is it has some more Board of Teaching language in there regarding the criteria and establishing streamlined procedures for those out-of-state licensed professionals who are looking to teach in Minnesota through reciprocity.
And if I might then, could you point out to the members the lines in the A8 amendment that are technical in nature, that are in addition to what was originally posted with the A5 amendment?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that would be lines 1.10 through 1.12, as well as 1.17 through 1.18.
And members, we did have a discussion with the Democrat lead, Representative Carlson, about the A8 amendment as opposed to the A5 amendment, and he said that he was comfortable with moving the A8 amendment. Also, Representative Westrom was provided a copy electronically so that he could review it.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, have I moved the bill yet or not?
Nope.
Madam Chair, I'll move House File 63 for passage and to be sent to the General Register.
All right, and then if you could explain your bill.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members, this is the alternative licensure bill, which provides alternative pathways for people to get into the classroom. The highlights of this bill are essentially allowing those qualified individuals who are looking to issue of reciprocity or through alternative teacher programs to be able to teach in our schools. This bill is supported by the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, by Teach for America, as well as by other organizations. I am happy to answer any questions about the bill, and I would ask for members' support as we move forward on this legislation.
Thank you, members. And would you like to move the A8 amendment so we can adopt that at this time?
Madam Chair, I'll move the A8 amendment.
Are there any questions on the A8 amendment? Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Garofalo, line 1-8 refers to performance measures that the board might adopt. And as I read this amendment, it appears that those performance measures would only apply to this particular category of teachers coming from out of state with licensure in teaching previously. And my question is, why not consider extending those performance measures to all categories of alternative licensure?
Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair and Representative Reinhart, as you know, that there are on the issue of reciprocity, there was open standards before. There was an open bar there. So there are standards that do apply to those alternatively licensed teachers who go through alternative programs in the state of Minnesota. With regards to the establishment of these criteria and criteria and streamlined procedures, as you know, in the committee process, currently in Chairman Erickson's committee, we're working on the TPA bill that's going to be going forward. And my expectations and the discussion with the committee chairs, that's an issue that will be addressed separately, but is not tied to this bill, if that's a fair statement.
Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This actually relates to what negotiations might occur in the future between you and Representative Mariani on House File 3, related to House File 63, because for some of us, the teacher performance assessment is a critical part of alternative licensure, so that we may discuss that further. But because you used the phrase performance measures here, I felt that that required some reflection on whether those should be more broadly applied.
Thank you.
Members, any other questions on the A8 amendment? Representative Garofalo renews his motion that the A8 amendment be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion's adopted. We now have the amended bill in front of us. Are there any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, Representative Reinhart.
Madam Chair, is it appropriate time for comments and not questions?
Certainly.
All right. Okay. I guess I the concern I have at this point is that we're simply looking at House File 63 and not also seeing House File 3, which when House File 63 left the K-12 Finance Committee, there was an explicit understanding between Representative Mariani and Chair Garofalo that there would be further negotiations between those two bills, and this amendment, neither this file nor this amendment represent those negotiations. And the critical aspect of that from my perspective is there may be many of us who vote no today on House File 63, not because we're unsupportive of alternative licensure, but because we believe there's some critical elements, Representative Mariani's bill, that ought to be negotiated here. So I think I would ask Representative Garofalo to speak to that.
Sure.
Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair and Representative Reinhart, I can assure you that there are numerous discussions with stakeholders involved in this process. That Representative Mariani is one of many individuals and groups who are going to be involved in that process, and you have my you have my commitment that we are my actions today are an action to move this. Tony, can you just move to one side or the other? Thanks. Madam Chair, members, I can assure you that the actions today that we are taking are moving this bill closer to passage. They're not moving it away from passage. I recognize the fact that in addition to the legislature passing this, we need Governor Dayton's signature, and those are the efforts we're taking place today. But yes, that dialogue and those conversations have taken place, are taking place, and will continue to take place.
Representative Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that, Representative Garofalo, and I'll just want to reiterate that there may be a number of us, and I'm going to speak for myself here, who are strong supporters of alternative licensure but do not find your bill the appropriate vehicle for that support at the moment.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, and committee members. There's that old saying, you know, fool me once, shame on me, and fool me twice. And we have already heard this story, members, in the Education Finance Committee and the Education Policy Committee, that Representative Garofalo is going to work with Representative Mariani and other stakeholders, but yet the bill keeps moving along, and we have as yet to see that they have that we have a serious workings of any kind of compromise. And I'm still optimistic, because I am too a supporter of alternative teacher licensure. I'm optimistic that before we get done with this legislative session, maybe before we get done with this month, we will have a compromise and we will have a bill. But I have to question why those of us who support alternative licensure, support Teach for America, are continually put in this position of voting no on something that we support. And I am going to ask for a roll call, because I am proud of my no vote on House File 63. It does not include the safeguards for high standards for our students that we have come to expect of our teachers in Minnesota. Teach for America works with Hamline University, and Representative Mariani's bill calls for a connection with higher ed for these teachers who aren't trained through the proper channels. But we think that when they bring a diverse teaching force, they bring energy and intelligence, and Teach for America does a really good job of that, that as long as they grow through alternative channels, that those also could be proper channels, and we would benefit our students. But those safeguards aren't in this bill, and so once again, I think this might be the third time I have to vote no on this bill. And I'm very sorry that I have to do that. We discussed in Education Finance, a lot of us supported this last year when Education Minnesota wasn't as at the table as they are this year, and I think they have made huge concessions. They have worked on the compromise. It's Representative Garofalo that I don't see in this mix to be coming up with a compromise where we don't have to keep voting no. But for today, Madam Chair and members, I have asked for a roll call. I'll proudly cast my no vote, but with great regret, because I support alternative licensure if it's done with high standards. But today I recommend a no vote.
Thank you, Representative Greiling. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Garofalo, you talked about this bill is in process. Historically, committees are where bills are written, and that this committee is the end of the process where the finances are reconciled. So I am sensing that there is a new process that I don't understand, and I think it may be helpful, Madam Chair, if we put the rules of the new process on the table, because we've had fiscal we've had bills come through committee, finance committees without fiscal notes, and now we're talking about there's a process, and I thought we were this is the end of the process. There are new rules that I don't understand, and I'm hoping that we can have a discussion about the new rules of the game.
All right. Did you have a question?
That is the question. What are the rules of the game here for Representative Garofalo? What are the rules of the game since we're at the end of the process?
Representative Westrom.
Well, Madam Chair, maybe to the senior member, Wagenius, this is not the end of the process. If I can just discuss it for the new members, we've still got the House floor, Representative Wagenius. There's usually days that go between now and the end of the floor, and amendments are often crafted between now and then. The floor, assuming this bill would pass in its exact version, has to go to the Senate, Representative Wagenius. They may pass a different version. It goes to conference committee. And the governor's office weighs in all along the way in all of that process. The conference committee report then has to come back to the Senate, be approved, has to come back to the House, be approved, and then it goes to the governor. So if you need an explanation of the rules, that's the rules that I've learned in the last 14 years, and I think you know that as well.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. Madam Chair and Representative Wagenius, I apologize if I misspoke in my comments. My actions today are for moving this process forward in terms of doing this to make sure that we can get a bill that can be passed into law and have the governor's signature. Those are the actions that I'm taking place today. You will see that in this committee, the amendment we moved does change the fiscal note. There's a draft of that fiscal note that's available in your packet. So the financial items that you're discussing, that information is available to this committee. But please understand that I am doing this today to move this bill closer to passage, not to do anything else.
Representative Wagenius.
I understand the things that have been said, but the process of writing a bill, generally, the bill that we like, the bill that we want, the bill that is intended to pass on the floor, finishes up here. The bill that, and so here we're talking about there's a negotiation going on, or should be going on, and I'm not even part of it, and I don't want to be part of it. The rules of the game have changed, and I think we need to acknowledge it. I certainly don't understand them here. We're seeing something different happen. But in other times, the final product has been negotiated through many committees, and this is the end of the process for the looks of the bill.
Representative Downey, to this point.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm not quite sure what we're talking about here. This bill or a version thereof has been circulating in the House for literally years. Representative Mariani had a bill that was much debated and refined last year. It did not pass off the House floor. Representative Mariani and Representative Garofalo have brought bills forward this year that were both heard in the K-12 Policy Committee, according to process. Representative Garofalo's bill with a fiscal note was heard in K-12 Finance Committee, according to process. Representative Mariani actually attempted to offer his bill as a delete all to Representative Garofalo's bill in K-12 Finance. It was voted down. I think very clearly, Representative Wagenius, the process has been honored. This is the bill that we like, this is the bill that we want, and the bill that will pass, and I don't understand where anyone's coming from thinking that somehow this isn't a bill that we want. I think Representative Garofalo's willingness to continue working through the process with the governor is exactly what we want, but this bill has gone through the process that everybody wants and desires for the legislature.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. I'm beginning to understand a little bit better now. And what I am understanding is that there must have been an agreement that was not honored. Because when you say this is the bill we want, I accept that. This is the bill you want. But this is not then the beginning of a process. This is the end of a process with the bill you want. And if that is what we're doing, now I know about my voting. Thank you.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. If I were dealing with Representative Downey and his clear statements, then I would just vote no and be satisfied that that was the process. What confuses me is the statements that Representative Garofalo keeps making as we go along. For members who don't serve on education, out of education policy, both Representative Mariani's bill and Representative Garofalo's bill were sent to education finance. And we were all thinking then that that would be worked out in education finance, and then whatever came forward would come to ways and means. If Representative Garofalo was saying what Representative Downey did, this is my bill, this is the one I want, I don't want any part of Representative Mariani's bill, I don't want any compromise, then this procedure would not have me confused. And I would be very clear, vote no, be done with it, Representative Greiling. It's the fact that we keep hearing these statements out of the bill author that he wants to compromise. He's constantly compromising. That has me confused. So I guess, Madam Chair, I'd like to ask Representative Garofalo to clarify that for me. Did you agree with Representative Downey, or are you trying to send us some other signal, in which case then Representative Wagenius's comments about why are we in ways and means, don't we usually do, education policy in education applies. So is it Representative Downey? He's clear. And Representative Wagenius and I are confused because of what you're saying. Please help me out.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, I find it ironic that in the Ways and Means Committee, the alternative licensure bill was being criticized by the minority party for process, given what happened to the alternative licensure bill in Ways and Means last year. I think ironic is the only word I can come up with. Madam Chair and Representative Greiling, my actions today are to move this bill forward. Absolutely, absolutely, I am willing to compromise on this and work with it, because ultimately, I need Governor Dayton's signature to get this bill passed. That's what I am doing today. Representative Mariani, myself, as well as other stakeholders, will be participating in that process going forward on the House floor and in the conference committee, and I am confident that we will have a bill that will be signed into law this session. I am very confident.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Garofalo, you know that I agreed with you on what happened with the majority party in the Ways and Means Committee last year. I did not appreciate that process. I did not vote with my party, and I spoke out, and all my actions were consistent, just like Representative Downey, on what I supported and how I thought of the process. But this year, when you're in the majority, I keep hearing you say you want to work with Representative Mariani, and I can't understand why you don't do that before we get to Ways and Means, and then we could vote on what you really want. And Representative Mariani has been standing ready to work with you. I haven't noticed that his bill or any form of it has made it into any of your machinations of your bills here. So I'm not talking about last year when I agreed with you. I'm talking about this year when I don't.
Senator Carlson, or I'm sorry, Representative Carlson.
Had that opportunity a couple times, but declined. You know, I want to chime in a little bit because, you know, I spent many years on the Education Committee, in fact, chaired it, and then I was off for a long time, and I've gone back on this session. I'm talking about the education reform, or what I still call the Education Policy Committee. What I find troubling here is that the work really should have been done in that committee. We essentially had the two bills before us, and I would argue that that committee unfortunately didn't do its job. It sent both bills over to K-12 finance, and what we see now, and just to remind this committee, the Mariani bill had a very strong vote in the finance committee, and that was the first one voted on. I'm hard-pressed to think if there were any no votes. If there were any no votes, they were very soft or very few. And then when the Garofalo bill, which was second, came up for a vote, that was a very mixed vote. There were no roll calls. There were no divisions. But it clearly didn't enjoy the broad base of support in that committee that the Mariani bill did. But we were told, as others have said here this afternoon, that they would continue to work on both bills. In fact, I commented after we adjourned after that meeting that I was a bit troubled by the fact that both bills were reported out without the work being done there. I really felt that the compromise should have taken place there and that the bills be merged one way or another, bringing together some of the issues. The Mariani bill, when it left committee, the understanding was that there were some things that still needed to be worked on in that bill, and then there was the clear difference. And that's what's missing here is good, solid work by the Education Reform Committee. And then it creates a problem here when it comes to what is the last step. And just to remind Representative Westrum, I'm not sure if he was following the Senate today or not, but when we talk about this bill getting closer and closer to passage, it did pass the Senate today, and now it'll be out on the House floor. And so my question is, where is that opportunity for compromise? I've always felt that the best legislation is legislation that is worked on in committee until you finally arrive at a consensus or a close consensus, and one as contentious as this, and with two different vehicles, it just simply should have been done there.
Representative Sarah Anderson. Representative Breinhardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick comment. My concern isn't so much about process as it is about perception. And as Representative Downey tells the story, and others may tell a similar story, the perception might be that there's been a logical process here between the Mariani bill and the work that preceded that and now the Garofalo bill. And I personally perceive a definite break between the Mariani bill and the Garofalo bill, and the Garofalo bill is much more open-ended. There are elements that were brought in, for instance, the reciprocity issues for both alternative licensure and traditionally licensed teachers were brought in almost as side elements, not in my mind fully vetted, because the focus was on the Teach for America licensure. And I do think the restrictive elements in Representative Mariani's bill are critical to the way many of us approach the value of the alternative licensure process as it was vetted last year. So I'm simply wanting to make clear that I don't see continuity between these bills and therefore can't support Representative Garofalo's bill.
Thank you, Representative Breinhardt. I'm seeing no... Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Wagenius.
This is a process that we do for the public. We promise them, both sides of the aisle, transparency. That's what we're about. And that's why it's a good idea to do bills in committee. Kind of toss it out, put amendments back and forth so the public knows what is going on. It defies any rational thinking that the public would have a clue about what is going on with this bill, because I hear it is the final bill. This is what we want. I hear it is in process, and never mind what I think about the bill one way or the other. I have to vote no because I don't know what's going on here. And I follow stuff, and I am upset about that.
Thank you, Representative Wagenius. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask for member support of this bill as we move forward.
All right. Representative Garofalo renews his motion that House File 63, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. It's a roll call.
Representative Holberg.
Yes.
Representative Downey.
Yes.
Representative Carlson.
No.
Representative Abler. Representative Bruce Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Sarah Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Beard.
Aye.
Representative Breinert.
No.
Representative Biskins.
Aye.
Representative Champion. Representative Cornish.
No.
Representative Davids.
No.
Representative Eakin.
No.
Representative Garofalo.
Yes.
Representative Greiling.
No.
Representative Gunther.
Yes.
Representative Hackbarth.
Yes.
Representative Hamilton.
Yes.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative House.
Yes.
Representative Huntley. Representative Kahn.
No.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Aye.
Representative Lanning.
Yes.
Representative Lincheski.
No.
Representative McNamara.
Yes.
Representative Nornes.
Yes.
Representative Pawlowski.
No.
Representative Rukavina.
No.
Representative Slawik.
No.
Representative Wagenius.
No.
Representative Westrom.
Yes.
By a vote of 17-13, the motion passes. House File 63 is on its way to the General Register.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. The next item on our agenda is House File 55 for a return visit to Ways and Means. Representative Hackbarth, you're up. I believe the motion would be that House File 55 to be reconsidered by the Committee on Ways and Means. And Representative Hackbarth, if you'd like to explain the reason why.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 55 is the lands bill that we heard here the other day and passed on to the House floor to the General Register. I put an amendment on the bill that I was told was a non-controversial Peace in the Valley amendment, and it is not. It has caused great concern with Carlton County. I've talked to Representative Hilty. He understands the issue, and he agrees that the language has to come out. The county board and the county land commissioner up there are very worried that they do not want that in the bill. So I'm going to make a motion to delete that section of the bill, and it's on page 12, section 15, and it's to delete subdivision 3E, and it's contained in lines 12.24 through lines 12.27. Delete those lines.
Madam Chair, we should vote
Carlson
to reconsider before we take the amendment.
And Mr. Representative Carlson, that is the motion that I suggest.
Yeah, but we need to vote on.
I understand that, but I wanted the committee to know what the reason for reconsideration is. I didn't want them just to follow us on blind faith.
I understand. It sounds like the presentation that we were about to go to a vote.
No, Representative Carlson, I asked that the author explain the need for the reconsideration prior to that vote. So committee members would know what was being asked. So members, the motion in front of us is to reconsider House File 55. Any questions on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion's adopted. Representative Hackbarth, would you then like to make the motion to remove lines 12.24 and 12.27?
That would be correct, Madam Chair. This was my amendment that I added to the bill, and I regret having done that.
And are there any questions on the motion to remove those lines from the bill? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion's adopted. We now have the amended House File 55. And Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, I've talked to Representative Hackbarth. He's not too happy with me, but I had talked to Representative Groffalo, and I thought Representative Groffalo was going to talk to Representative Hackbarth after I saw on page 2 of this bill the subdivision 7, which I'm very concerned with, and would ask that we just slow down this little portion of the bill a little bit, Madam Chair. And so I would move to delete subdivision 7 on page 2 in the top of page 3, and then I would explain why I'm doing it.
Members, I think the motion would be to delete section 5 of the bill.
Section 5, excuse me, yes.
Yeah. And would you like to explain your reasons why, and then we would like to hear from the bill author as well. Representative Rukavina.
Yes, I would, Madam Chair, and Representative Hackbarth, I apologize. I tried to catch you, and I thought that Representative Garofalo had talked to you about this because I talked to him after I got here the other day. The bill had already gone out. When I started to look at it, I saw that in there. My understanding is that this was in the bill last year, and that's fine, but I didn't know about it. And Madam Chair, I have been dealing with the school trust lands in the state of Minnesota since my first year here when I offered what I thought was an innocent amendment and ended up getting threatened by then the chair of the higher ed committee, or the K-12 committee, and the policy committee, and the finance committee, and everybody else from the metropolitan area in particular. A few years later, I asked Representative Carlson when he was chair of the, I think, policy or K-12 or higher ed committee, I think it was K-12, to put in a study on the trust fund lands. After that, we did an exchange of trust fund lands where people had cabins for many, many years, and the DNR kind of unfairly went after people. And in that land exchange, the DNR insisted that lakeshore frontage had to be exchanged for lakeshore frontage because of the value. And so it was, and it took a few years. But, you know, I just am tired of the way that the DNR is managing the school trust land. And it is an issue that's been around for a long time, and it's an issue that finally, someone else besides this crazy ranger brought to their attention that Representative Dietrich has been looking at and tried last year to get someone, as in other states, to manage this trust because the DNR has a conflict of interest. For us to exchange, by luck of the draw for the farmers in the room, they know that Section 16 and 36 in each township was given to the state of Minnesota, and by luck of the draw in the boundary waters, it ended up then on 16 and 36, we got a lot of lakeshore. It also ended up on the range that we got a lot of minerals, and we got a lot of timber. And the minerals basically have funded the entire school trust, which is worth about $700 million, I believe, and gives about each kid in the state and every school district and every child in K-12 about $40 a head every year from the interest. But there could be a lot more in that fund. In 2009, the DNR sold $10 million worth of timber of the kids that belongs to the kids, and they put $200,000 in the trust fund. Now, I could manage better than that, and I can't even manage my checkbook. The Lake Vermilion deal, we have 21 miles of school trust lakeshore on Lake Vermilion, and we paid U.S. Steel $16 or $18 million, they won't tell us what, 2 years ago, to get a park next to a park on Lake Vermilion, where we don't take care of the park we already have, but that's another, I digress. when what we could have done is given U.S. Steel some of that lakeshore in exchange and given the kids $18 million or $16 million or whatever the figure. But the DNR just doesn't seem to care because they have another mission. And for me to see this language now where we're going to, Madam Chair, I'll like to hear from Mr. Myers, but I can tell the committee members this. There isn't enough land owned by the federal government in the state of Minnesota to trade non-riparian land for lakeshore land in the boundary waters. So I don't think this thing has to be rushed out of here. I don't want to give the DNR any more authority to abuse our school trust and our kids than they've already had. And I would hope we could just pull this out for now and have a bigger discussion and represent Garofalo's committee. This has no need to move so quickly. I know it was in there last year. I know Mr. Myers is going to say that the School Trust Advisory Committee, which hasn't overseen this land very good at all, approved of this. They're wrong. And Ms. Schwab is here from the Minnesota School Board Association, and if she supports it, she's wrong. So, and he's wrong, Myers. So, members, I'm just hoping you listen to what I said, because I know this issue. And if you want to debate me, Mr. Myers, you go ahead and you can talk now. But there's no need for this to move this quickly. And I think Representative Dietrich and Garofalo should discuss this in the K-12 committee, and we should pull it out tonight.
Thank you,
Representative Hackbarth. I apologize that Representative Garofalo didn't talk to you about this. He said he was going to on Monday or Tuesday, whenever it was, and I didn't mean to spring this on you at this time.
Representative Hackbarth.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And members, this section has been in the bill all last year. It's been through many, many different committees. I just brought this bill back from the House floor. It went through all the committees again this year. I brought it back to fix a mistake that I made in this bill the last time we met here. And this language has been around for a long time. I think the Democrats know that it's been in there. I don't see a problem with it. It's been approved many, many times before. Mr. Meyer from the DNR is here. He can give it further explanation if you like. But this language has been around for a long time. As everyone knows, the Lands Bill is a non-controversial bill, a bill that everybody can agree on, and now we have this issue. Members, I think that we just leave it in the bill and we get the job done. Mr. Meyer is here if you have any questions for him.
Any questions from committee members on the Rukavina oral amendment?
Madam Chair, members, indulge me on this. I'm right. And I didn't see it in the bill last year, and enough is enough. Mr. Myers, my question to you is, why do you need this language right now at this time?
Mr. Myers.
Madam Chair, members, just briefly, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. This does support a resolution that was passed in the House and Senate, I believe, by Representative Dietrich and Senator Saxog, that did move out of both bodies, that supports, encourages federal government to do an exchange with us. We're currently under process with the U.S. Forest Service to do not a value for value completely on the land, but a cash payment plus a land exchange. Representative Rukavina and others tried to do a acre for acre exchange several years ago. That didn't go anywhere. We're about 30,000 acres away, which isn't a lot out of 85,000 acres. We started to take non-productive land in the BWCA and receive a cash payment plus productive forest land for the school trust. It is supported by school trust advisory committee members. I believe Representative Greiling is aware of this issue, Representative Wagenius, Representative Dietrich, and many people supported it, and it did pass last year, but unfortunately this bill was vetoed, as everybody knows. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Myers, why do you need this language?
Mr. Myers.
Mr.
Want to tell us why?
Without this language, that process will not be able to move forward. We are not, the process we're negotiating with the federal government on the land exchange is not an acre for acre piece, nor is it riparian for riparian. It's value for value, and then there's a cash payment as well.
Mr. Myers.
Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, why do you need language? Because what does the language currently say?
Mr. Myers.
I believe the language says you have to can't exchange riparian land for non-riparian land, right?
Madam Chair,
Mr.
Members,
Myers.
The language on lines 2.3 to 3.2 states that any state-owned riparian lands within the Boundary Waters canoe area may be given in exchange for non-riparian land outside of the canoe area. There's no way we will ever come to an agreement with the federal government, the U.S. Forest Service, to exchange riparian lands within the BWCA for riparian lands outside of the BWCA, because I don't believe they own that much land that they could exchange for us on a value-for-value basis. what the Permanent School Trust Fund Advisory Committee has recommended, and there's a subcommittee working with the U.S. Forest Service on this issue, is that we do a land swap plus a cash buyout that would be deposited in the Permanent School Trust Fund, of which that money would be deposited in the corpus, of which the interest earned goes directly into the K-12 budget.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Myers, I'm not the smartest bulb on the tree, but I can read English. I can even read Croatian and Finn. I know what it says. You need it because right now you can't exchange riparian land for non-riparian land. And you haven't done a very good job. And I can tell you what's going to happen. I can imagine the administrative fees and the costs that are going to be written off to this federal land exchange and the work done. If you sell it for $1 billion, will you charge $200 million for the work you did? $300 million? And what will you end up with? Junk land for beautiful lakeshore that is probably some of the most valuable land in the country? And if the federal government won't negotiate, maybe we should do what we've tried to do and what Utah did and make them do a land for equal land. You're not going to get equal value. I don't mind if you don't get all riparian land. But I don't want you trading, you know, a Cadillac for a junk Model T. And you've done that in the past. And Mr. Myers, the exchange on 4 years ago on conference committee when we were doing that cut bill or whenever it was, we talked about the land on Vermilion not generating any money. Tell the committee what you've done with the land on Lake Vermilion that doesn't generate any money since I brought it to the attention of the legislature 4 years ago. Has that land generated a penny for the school kids? 1 cent, Mr. Myers?
Representative Rukavina, well, first of all, Mr. Myers, if you have a short answer, and I think...
Is that a joke towards me? Come on.
No.
Short answer? Oh,
oh
okay.
No, I... you know, I love you short guys. Yeah, I married one, so... anyway, Mr. Myers.
Madam Chair, members, there have been land sales in the area. There are timber sales that are on going right now, and a road easement that we worked with Representative Rukavina and his constituents, the revenues off of that were deposited in the Permanent School Trust Fund Advisory Committee, Permanent School Trust Fund as well. I don't have a complete list of those revenues, but I certainly can work and get you folks those answers. If you
Mr. Need. Myers, I would Representative say, Madam Chair, venture to say nothing. And this deal right now, it scares me, because I know the value of that land and how you've managed this land even recently. And I think there's no reason why we can't pull this out for now and give it a more thorough discussion in the legislative committees that oversee the education and the dollars that go to our kids. Because, members, this is a way to generate a lot of money, a heck of a lot of money, without having to raise a penny in taxes on our constituents and help out.
Really quickly, the decision
Myers.
That these lands to ultimately be exchanged and traded will not be of the DNR. It will be with the Permanent School Trust Fund Advisory Committee recommendation, of which, Madam Chair, you're a member, I believe. Representative McNamara is a member. Representative Garofalo is a member. There are citizens member. Ms. Schwab is a member of the committee. It's not the DNR making this decision. If you wish to take the language out, it will delay, perhaps derail that process, but if that's the wish of the committee, Madam Chair, we can live with that. So thank you very much.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Myers, this has been an issue that I brought to your attention and the DNR's attention for 25 years. To delay it one more year isn't going to cause any harm and stop the process. But I am just concerned that you folks, you professionals, seem to change the rules when it make it a little easier for you, because I know the last exchange of any significance, you required Lakeshore for Lakeshore. And maybe St. Louis County and Cook County and Hubbard County and others are easier to deal with the feds. But that doesn't make it right that you're going to trade a Cadillac for a junk Model T Ford.
All right, members, we have the Rukavina oral amendment to delete Section 5 out of the bill. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
No.
No. Motion is not adopted.
Can I see a show of hands just so I can guilt some people?
Certainly. Representative Rukavina has asked for a division. All those in support of the Rukavina amendment, please raise your hand. All All those opposed, raise your hand.
Hey, you didn't have your hand up. You don't have to vote. I think I won, Madam Chair.
Yes. We have 10 to 13. I'm sorry, Representative Rukavina. My ears are still good. So
I got to clean the wax out of mine then, because I think I won.
All right. Members, we have House File 55 as amended in front of us. Representative Hackbarth renews his motion that House File 55 as amended be passed and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion's adopted. Members, a couple of announcements. First, thank you to Mr. Stone for sitting in today for Mr. Kennedy. We will not be meeting Monday morning, so go have a great weekend, and stay tuned for a meeting at the College Chair sometime next week. So, meeting adjourned.